It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, kicking off hour number two in spectacular fashion as we go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline and welcome in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
Doing very, very well. Finally, draft week is upon us. The Browns obviously making the big move with the Eagles last week. What do you think of the setup now for the Browns, and what do you think of that trade they made to move from 2 to 8?
Well, first of all, I want to give you guys credit. I was actually in my car listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, and I believe you put Bob from Strongsville on hold that day.
Yes, we did.
What news came down. It was thrilling, I have to be honest with you. I mean, I was on board with the whole quarterback thing from the time we ended the season and
sure,
sitting in there at number two. But really, when you take a look and take a step back from it and you look at the overwhelming amount of needs that this team has, the only way that you start to fill those holes, and hopefully with guys that can go out and play, is by accumulating picks. Now, the next thing is making the right pick. But if you lay this trade out on the table, I mean, it's a trade that really lasts for the next three drafts. I mean, this one next year with their number one, and then the year after that with their number two. So, I mean, it's got longevity, it's got a multitude of picks, and it's got an opportunity for them to start to add to a roster that definitely, you know, is in dire need of some help. So the other thing I like, guys, was I was really kind of perked up a great deal by what Hugh Jackson said at the end of the week last week during the minicamp, when he said, hey, listen, I understand people saying that there's a risk if we're, you know, looking past a potential franchise quarterback. But, you know, when he said, says who? I mean, you know, we listen to all of these guys as they evaluate these quarterbacks and other positions, but especially the quarterback position being under the microscope. And you don't know. I mean, nobody knows. And I would lean towards him because of his great work around quarterbacks. So I think for what the Browns need to do in the next, at the end of this week, I think the deal was an exceptional deal for them.
I agree as well, Jim. And you kind of laid out both of my two phases of the question as we do draft 8. So because of the trade and because of what you heard from Hugh Jackson and some of the players that hit the podium throughout the voluntary mini camp, what do you, in fact, we believe the Cleveland Browns will do at number 8?
Well, I don't want to be, I don't want to be sarcastic, Matt.
Or what players do you like?
It's almost like the Browns need two of everything. So, I mean, you know, I really think that
get
you could go anywhere across the board. I mean, could they go and get an offensive tackle? Absolutely. I mean, they could go and have this year's right tackle, but in the future, the next left tackle for the Browns whenever they, you know, make a decision, or if Joe Thomas, whatever Joe Thomas does and how that situation plays out. Could they get Miles Jack and be confident with the fact that maybe that knee is going to be okay and they're comfortable with it and you get a real playmaker on the defensive side? Absolutely. Could they get a wide receiver? I think maybe at 8, maybe that's a little high, you know, for that group of players. I think maybe that you could come down a little bit there. I mean, would Ezekiel Elliott fit for them? You know, absolutely. They have so many needs right now that, always could you use a defensive lineman and a pass rusher. I just think that those kind of, you know, all the names that are in that top 15, I think, you know, are applicable to the Browns. And I think when you make that kind of a deal, I think you're saying, hey, listen, best player available because we need good players.
Certainly the Browns do. Recently, staying with the quarterback position, the Browns, it sounds, some rumors are swirling that Hugh Jackson likes Paxton Lynch. Your thoughts on that, and where would be a good spot for the Browns to get him if that is indeed true?
Well, he's kind of the new flavor of the week, don't you think?
It seems that way.
That the other two are spoken for, and it appears that they definitely are spoken for in Goff and Wentz. Now it appears that, you know, this kid is climbing up the boards, and some people have the Browns connected to him at number 8. And I know Hugh Jackson met with him and his parents, and I know he came into Berea, and he's a really big kid. But I think he's raw. I think that 8 would be a little quick there. But if they did do it, Nathan, obviously they had him rated, you know, a little bit differently than the other two quarterbacks who they could have sat in there and made a pick on. you know, I watched him in his bowl game. He had a bad bowl game that day. You know, I didn't watch Memphis all that much, but his size, I mean, he is a big, big kid. But again, it looks like he, maybe all three of them, when we're talking about Wentz and about Goff and about Lynch, all three of them are going to need, you know, some time to really learn the NFL game and get comfortable in it. And I definitely think he would fall into that category.
Jim, I'll deviate off the Browns for a second and essentially deviate off the draft for a quick minute, simply for with your history there in the Boston area. Was it a surprise to you to wake up this morning and see that the Tom Brady four-game suspension has now been reinstated and he will potentially open his season against our Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
No, it was, you know, when I go back to when it went back into the courts a few weeks ago, and it seemed as though the line of questioning during that hearing and during that time was very, very different from the time when the suspension was wiped out. You know, back when we were in the preseason getting ready for the Browns to play a game, and then that decision that the suspension was kind of wiped away. You know, that went well for Brady. This did not go well in just the court hearing. It seemed as though they were leaning towards, hey, listen, we really feel that the commissioner, you know, had enough evidence that there was something going on there and that Brady had some knowledge of it. So just the tone of that hearing, I wasn't surprised. But I know back there in Boston, and you're right, I mean, you know, this will be another Boston Tea Party back there because, you know, they'll get all riled up again. But it is amazing that, you know, it just seems as though when quarterbacks come back off of suspensions, I think Roethlisberger had this happen earlier in his career. He came back after a suspension when his was kind of, you know, cut in half, and he opened up against the Browns on that particular game when he started his season. So that's amazing that Brady would do this. If it's Tom Brady, it seems as though in his makeup he'll fight this as hard as he can, although I don't know how much of a fight he has left in him, you know, to get this done and turned around again and kind of stayed again.
Yeah, it is going to certainly be interesting, and you can imagine if it is upheld, his first game back against the Browns, he is going to be in a rather feisty mood, you would imagine.
I would imagine, Nathan, I would imagine on the pecking order of network games, if that's the case, our game suddenly shoots to the top that week.
I think you are exactly right about that. If we want to get moved to a 4:15 start, that's the game to do it.
And yeah, and Tom Brady is missing two primetime games and two division games. So if you don't think the NFL or the networks will be chomping right at the bit to have Tom Brady on primetime, that would be great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's how they do it, Matt.
That is exactly how they do it. Jim, let's go now the Browns. Here we are at number 8 in the first round and, you know, also holding pick number 32. What's your ideal scenario for them at 8? Is it staying there? And if so, who do you want? Or is it moving back one more time?
Well, I mean, I could understand if they, if, you know, in this, if there is a philosophy, Nathan, that, you know, the more picks, the better, and we can do it again and not go down too far. I wouldn't go past 15. I mean, you know, I wouldn't go down any lower than that. And if you can get another, you know, sizable amounts, get a pretty good amount of picks there that would intrigue you into the middle of the draft, you know, I would do it again. At number 8, I, you know, the combination I was looking for was I was looking at number 32 that they might get a wide receiver, and at 8 they might now get somebody that can help them either on the offensive line or as a pass rusher. I would look at those two areas.
Jim, the I don't think we've talked since the schedule has come out. Have you played the schedule game, and are we better than we were last year in this year's schedule?
You know, I'll tell you, it's I have not played the schedule game. I've kind of years beyond doing that, Matt. I did play it a lot during my you know tenure here. I look at it as I here's what I hope for. I really hope that this is – I think it's going to be a very young team, obviously.
Yes.
I think by the way they've done things and what they haven't done, that they didn't go out and spend a ton of money on veteran free agents to come in here. I think they're going to spread it, and it's going to be a young team, and it's going to get younger, obviously, over the weekend when these draft picks start to fill slots on the roster. So I look at it as a team that probably, you know – is going to, you know, the RG3 thing is going to be fascinating, how this is going to play
absolutely
out, how he's going to play. And that's going to be exciting in itself, is to see if he can really rejuvenate himself, if there really is this kind of, you know, charismatic way with him once again, that he can recapture what he did in college in his rookie year. That makes that fun at the beginning of the year. But as the year goes on, I look at it that, you know, it seems as though it's, you know, it is what it is. And I think it's going to be tough if it's a very young team. But I would hope that it's a team that, and I think I said this to you when we were together the last time doing the show, that as November comes, you can start to see these younger players really, you know, progress being made.
Yeah.
And that in December, you kind of say, wow, this is intriguing to watch, that they are getting better and better every week. And it's not just one player, but it's a few players. And then when you walk away from the stadium, you're saying that you can't wait for next year because you're going to add to it in the draft, but you suddenly see a core of what you think is the semblance of an NFL team starting to turn the corner. And I think that that's what I would look for. I mean, I think it's going to be rough because they're young, but, you know, young players get experience and get a little bit better. And I think that that's what we would like to see, improvement. Improvement that's steady throughout the year.
Certainly six of the top 100 players in this draft will be in Cleveland Browns uniforms next year as it stands right now. So that is encouraging, and you hope that that young talent can develop and, as you said, show some progress as the season goes on. If there is one position that you say, I want to come out with an asset, multiple assets at in this draft, what is it, Jim?
You know, Nathan, I really believe that I would really like to see them get some real help at wide receiver.
Me too.
Because I
Amen.
Still think that you really need to throw the ball and you need to have playmakers, and you can have possession guys, but you really do need to have playmakers. And I think that that's been, you know, an area that has been, for some reason, not looked upon as important or neglected or taken for granted. But let's face it, it hasn't been there. And it hasn't been there for another reason, because Gordon basically has been suspended for the last 2 years. So with him, once again, you know, not, you know, a part of the team, and with still the fact that you have to throw the ball to win in this league, and I understand where we live and what the climate is, and end of the year you want to run the ball, but I just think this team needs help at wide receiver in a big way, and I would like to see them get those kind of players that can give you that big strike ability.
Jim, last question for me before we got to let you go. Every year, and especially now that I've been doing radio and we're talking about these draft classes in depth, there's always a player or two or maybe even three that I want to watch, whether they're in a Browns uniform or not, that you kind of always track and follow. Maybe they were linked to the Browns at some point, or there were a Buckeye that went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Are there any players in this upcoming draft that you're going to follow, whether they're in a Browns uniform or not, simply because of the intrigue that comes with them and the career they could possibly have in the NFL?
Well, I am going to – I really thoroughly enjoy watching Ezekiel Elliott play. I really do. I just think he's just got everything that you need. I mean, he can run, he can catch the ball, he blocks, he does everything. And I understand that, you know, there's this new trend at times in the NFL, and certainly in the draft, where you stay away from running backs, and you get burned if you pick them high, and the Browns did with Trent Richardson a few years back. But this guy looks as NFL-ready as most people are coming out this weekend and experiencing the draft. He just looks like he has it all. He looked like an NFL running back in college, and now he's getting ready to come into the NFL, and I just think he is totally ready. So you track a player like that because I think he's got all kinds of signs of greatness that he can be a big-time player right away and probably for a long time.
Certainly seems that way, and that's a guy I think if he's on the board at 8, the Browns will think long and hard about it, and also I think that's where Miami may be jumping up in their desperate quest to get a running back. A trade back becomes a real possibility. I know this, I don't think it's going to be dull. I don't think it's going to be just as simple as number 8 comes and we all know what the Browns are going to do. I think there could be moves upon moves, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. What have you thought?
I just want to say I'm sitting on my tractor talking to you guys right now because I want to get everything cut, so I'm ready to go.
So you're ready. That's right. Well, we'll let you tend to the farm out there, Jim. Appreciate the time as always.
Great talking to you guys. I'll see you at the end of the week.
You too,
all right,
Jim,
the great Jim Donovan with us. And don't forget, tonight, all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, we have a special 2-hour draft preview show. Myself.
Heard it's star-studded.
Myself. Matt Wilhelm,
yeah.
Ken Carmen,
oh.
Oh!
Mopedman
will also be joined by the Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Cleveland Browns, Sasha Brown. We'll also hear from Dane Brugler on that show. So it is a star-studded two-hour event that happens tonight at 7 p.m. all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. When we come back here on the show, we'll open up the phone lines 216-578-0850. And we are also going to go ahead and get into our mock draft picks 1 through 8 coming up. We've got what's going on with the G-men? Everybody wants to know. We'll find that out as well when we come back here. Hour number 2 of CBD. Thanks for being with us here on Draft Week Monday. DWMCBDZWG.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, love this song. I had to just let it go, Wilhelm.
What is this?
Gibbs, what is this?
It's a good song, man.
I know, it was so
it's
good. I really,
but
I was,
thieves. It's
I've been soaking
switch.
It in.
It's a good tune, man.
It's like Lemonade by Beyonce.
Billboard Top 20 this week.
Oh. All right, let's go to Eric in Cleveland quickly. Eric, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I want to say, first of all, is this is a great show, and I'll tell you why. Because it seems like the lights have come on. There are a lot of people that seem like they play football and understand the position. You can tell by the reactions that this was a very good move, and a lot of people that are calling in understand what the Browns have done. There's just too many holes to fill. You don't have no linemen. You don't have a running game. You got to start fixing the team. We can't focus on the quarterback. I like that. Now, my question to you is, what positions I'm hoping they grab – they will grab Elliott, they'll grab a wide receiver, and maybe an offensive line within the first three, and definitely look at a middle linebacker. We need some tackling. We need some defense. And I hope we don't go in that 3-4 defense again, because it takes a tackle, a big 300-pound tackle to put, and it's easy to straight ahead block on the 3-4 defense.
Well,
it doesn't block very well.
Ray Horton is in that Dick LeBeau style. It will be a 3-4 for the Browns. But the good thing is about that, is yes, that's your base defense, but when you get into nickel, you're really playing a four-man front.
You are.
So, and you're a nickel at least half the time,
and
I feel like, in the NFL.
The luxury of, and as I mean, the Saints do it, the Giants do it, the Bears used to do it, the Colts know. I mean, when you get into the Falcons do it, the really good 4-3 defenses.
Yeah.
And why a guy like Miles Jack, And I think it's Charlie Casserly's most recent mock draft, he has him falling all the way to 17 to the Falcons, and how monumental that would be. Sean Witherspoon's a guy that plays for the Falcons and has for a very long time in that will position. You would love to not have to swap out a nickel for a linebacker, you know, take out the indecision, because you have a guy that can jam that wide receiver. You know, you're not going to have him play man-to-man, but to jam that wide receiver and be under control and athletic enough to be able to body control and jam that wide receiver. And this goes back to Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and get a body on him so that quarterback comes off of him. And then a safety or a corner, depending on what type of coverage, takes him over in their zone as he makes his way up the field. And he can make a play in space. That is Miles Jack. That is Darren Lee. We saw it firsthand. And like I said last week, Miles Jack is by far and away 8 to 10 picks better than Darren Lee as a linebacker.
It's amazing how you just don't know.
Right.
We don't know. We'll never know what the teams know about Miles Jack.
No.
That stuff is kept totally under wraps. Now, you've heard the rumors, and you're seeing in the mock drafts. In Charlie Casserly's most recent mock draft, by the way, Charlie Cassie has him free fall all the way to pick 17.
Yeah, Falcons, right?
Yes.
That would be a dream scenario. Who's it? For Dan Quinn?
Yep.
In Atlanta. Because, Sean Witherspoon has been that guy in that system for a very long time.
Yeah, he's not this kind of guy.
No, he's not this kind of guy. That's right.
Not that kind of guy. All right, 216-578-0850. That's the way to call up. We will take your calls. Coming up at 2:30, we will have the mock draft. We're upping picks 1 through 8 now. Matt, before we do that, though, what is the latest on the G-Man?
Well, the latest
ESPN Cleveland.
There we go.
Breaking news.
Yes.
Yes. Gibbs, well done.
Thank you, Gibbs. The Eagles were defeated by the Giants this weekend. And so we are 4-0-1. That one was a tie, if we recall, going 2 weeks back with the Panthers.
Boo.
Right? And the championship games have been announced. They're not officially out, but the coaches know so that we can convey it to the players and the parents.
So this is
properly.
This is scoopage.
This is scoopage. The game time is not decided. It is going to go down on Saturday.
Okay.
But the Giants will play the Panthers again for the trophy.
The rematch to end all rematches. The war to settle the score. Matt Wilhelm's been working on this game plan day and night for this game. Once you heard it was official, this is a big one, folks. This is a big one.
It is a big one. It's going to be different for us. I'm not changing everything that we do, but I'm taking things to a whole nother level.
It's going to be a big game. Where does this go? And this goes down. Unfortunately, I can't even come to attend. I'm going to be on the radio.
Force Academy, Force Sports, and Rocky River.
I think Stan should go. I think he'd be a good fan for your team.
Okay.
Gibbs, I mean, are you going to be waiting with bated breath? I'm going to be.
Like Stan should give the pregame speech.
He should. Yes.
Just stay attuned. Stay in tune.
Wait, what time's the game at?
I think it's probably going to be around 3 o'clock.
Oh, no, never mind. That's like marathon day in Berea, man. You sit around, the draft ends at like 5 o'clock, and then like if you're lucky by 9 o'clock, Hugh and Sashi will come down and talk to us because you have to wait till after the free agency period. Like where the undrafted rookies can become free agents. And then they come down to wrap up the draft. And it's literally, you get there and it's daylight and you leave there and it is probably 11 o'clock at night. And you're like, sweet.
On that Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what has happened the last 3 days?
Yeah.
I don't know anything outside of the NFL draft. It's a brutally long, Saturday's the worst day.
It is a long weekend. By the way, one thing we can tell you the Cleveland Browns have done, that is, they have signed Salim Hakeem, the wide receiver who was here, had a strong showing in the minicamp, and they have signed him. Of course, he is the brother of former Oz Hakeem, who played with Al Saunders with the Rams back in the glory days of the greatest show on turf. So Salim Hakeem, he is there. In addition, the team has waived tight end Chase Ford, who they had claimed off of waivers not too long ago from, of course, the Baltimore Ravens, I believe.
Yes.
That's where Chase Ford came from. So Salim Hakeem, originally signed by Dallas as an undrafted free agent in 2012, 21 career games with the Jets, 19 of those from 2013 to 14, and then 2 with the Chiefs last year, 13 career kick returns, 21.5 average on those. He has speed, runs a 4.240 supposedly. So this is a guy, he looked good out there, he made some nice plays out there in the voluntary mini camp.
Yeah, he did look good.
He's going to have an opportunity to compete for a spot here on this roster going forward, Salim Hakeem. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will reveal, and don't worry, people are like, why are you only doing the mock draft picks 1 through 8? We're going 1 through 32. We're just breaking it up 8 a day. 8 today, 8 tomorrow, 8 the day after that, and then 8 on Thursday. That'll give us 1 through 32. We'll be ready to rock and roll here as the draft will kick off that night. All right, when we come back, picks 1 through 8 on CBD. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Time now for Mock Draft 2.0, the finale. Picks 1 through 8, Matt Wilhelm. You are on the clock with the Los Angeles Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams with the number one pick. Select Jared Goff.
Duh. Los Angeles Rams on my mock draft take Jared Goff, quarterback, California, Berkeley. No surprise there. As soon as they made the move up, it was for Goff. It was for Goff all along. And any Browns dream fans' dreams and hopes like mine of Jared Goff were dashed. Up in smoke. Did the trade happen on April 20th? It should have. Up in smoke went the
draft. Up in smoke tour was a fantastic tour.
Oh, yeah.
With Dre and Snoop back in the day.
Fantastic. I have the DVD of it.
Dude, I went.
Blossom. You went?
Yes. Actually, no, it was the Columbus. Whatever that amphitheater is in Columbus. It was amazing.
I'm jealous.
Polaris?
Yes, Polaris.
Yes.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Amazing time.
When was that? Was that like late 90s, early
2000s? 99, 2000?
I was backstage.
Wow. I saw the show at Blossom that had Snoop, it had 50 Cent, and it had somebody else, but I don't remember who. And LeBron went on stage with them.
It's great.
I remember that. That was a long time ago. All right, number two, the Philadelphia Eagles on the clock. They traded everything to come up to number two to select Carson Wentz, quarterback, North Dakota State University. And meanwhile, that didn't sit well with Sam Bradford, who has, again, not showed up to their camp and has requested a trade.
Wow. Carson Wentz, number two, North Dakota State Eagles.
You're on the clock. Pick number three, the San Diego Superchargers.
You know, we heard from Kevin Acey last week, and there are three names, I think, in play for the San Diego Chargers. That's Jalen Ramsey, Laramie Tunsil, as well as DeForest Buckner. But I believe they've got, the same way Jerry Jones believed Romo has 3 to 5 years left in him, as do the Chargers about Phillip Rivers, and they paid him that way. Now they need to protect him. And they're going to take Laramie Tunsil.
So I've got Tunsil there as well. The one thing that is confusing to me is that they said, you know, AC said, well, they've invested in Barksdale and Dunlop. So do they take a tackle? It just seems to me.
Well, look what the Eagles did at quarterback.
Right. You could probably kick one of those guys inside the guard.
Yeah.
I have Tunsil as well. All right, pick number four, the Dallas Cowboys on the clock. Here's a change for me and mine. I had him go Ezekiel Elliott in the first go-round. I have them taking the best defensive player on the board now. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback slash safety, Florida State University.
I, too, had them taking Ezekiel Elliott. I think Joey Bosa could be a name that we also see there. But I, too, went Jalen Ramsey.
And so, you know, we did these completely separate of each other.
Yes.
And then you're like, literally 1 second before we went on the air, he said, what's your order? And I read mine, and they're similar. Number five, Jacksonville on the clock, Matt Wilhelm.
The first Buckeye off of my board, Joey Bosa to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Great fit, defensive player. They get, what's the kid's name from Florida? They get this?
Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler back from injury. They've invested financially via free agency the last 2 years. So Jacksonville's primed to win that division. And I think it's a division that's up for grabs. So
absolutely.
Joey Bosa, Ohio State.
I also go Joey Bosa there. They like to play the 4-3 down there. He makes a good sense as a defensive end. You could have him on one side, Fowler on the other. They can get after it, get after the quarterback. And
Malik
I think
Jackson
that's a good,
in the middle?
Yep. I think that's a good, good pick. Number six now, we get to the Baltimore Ravens. Ronnie Stanley, tackle, Notre Dame. Know in the offseason, they lost their best offensive lineman, went to the Raiders. Think they look to replace him, and they do that with Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah, looking back on my first mock draft, how one trade changed it all. I believe the value of tackles has risen in the last 2 weeks, or even say 10 days. Jack Conklin, Ronnie Stanley, and I think it all depends where they go. It's on where Laramie Tunsil goes. If he goes number three, I also have the Baltimore Ravens shoring up that offensive line with Ronnie Stanley at number six overall.
Really? So that's what they do there. Interesting. Interesting. I don't think that that's a bad move for them. I think that that's a very Ozzie Newsome pick, a very safe pick, and a guy that they think can certainly help their team. Because they lost, what, Kaliche Osemele is the one who left. He was a big loss. They want to replace him. They added Mike Wallace already at the wide receiver position. They could make some moves on the defensive side of the ball.
You got to protect Flacco. He's coming off of an ACL.
Coming off the ACL, and I think that's a nice, nice, nice pick for them there. All right, number seven, you are on the clock with the San Francisco 49ers.
I think, and again, I talked about the run on tackles, and just knowing Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly out there on the West Coast, and there's been rumors of them not getting along and then refuting those rumors that they don't get along and everything's hunky-dory. I think they could go avant-garde and pick someone that you wouldn't expect them to, but they're going to go safe ultimately, and they're going to take Jack Conklin, tackle, Michigan State.
Okay, I have them going defense and taking a guy that some people think may be the best defense player in this draft, DeForest Buckner, the defensive end, out of Oregon. So that's our first diversion. Now pick number eight, Browns on the clock. We have a trade. The Browns have traded with the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins now picking eighth overall, and they take Ezekiel Elliott, running back, the Ohio State University.
Okay. I have the Cleveland Browns staying at number eight, at least for the time being, and selecting Ezekiel Elliott, Ohio State.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Talk about that.
I just feel that they've got the piece in Duke Johnson. I think if you're building, I think Ezekiel Elliott, if you look back on last year's draft, I think Ezekiel Elliott is head and shoulders better than Melvin Gordon. And I think he's actually better than Todd Gurley. Gurley's just more explosive. So I think it's just a very consistent and probably the safest pick you could potentially make at number eight that, in my mind, takes you out of no man's land. By having Ezekiel Elliott go to you or fall to you is the safest, best player available on the board and will give you immediate impact, which is what I'm looking for in the top 10.
So that's very interesting to me, right? It's a very interesting thing when you think about it. And you look at these Super Bowl champions. Because when's the last time? So Denver last year used a hodgepodge at running back. The year before that, New England hodgepodge at running back. The year before that, Seattle had a dominant running back in Marshawn Lynch. 2013, the year the Ravens won, was that Ray Rice still?
Mm-hmm.
But it was not very good that year.
No.
That was not because of a running back or a dominant running game. The Giants the year before that had kind of a combination, the tail end of Ahmad Bradshaw's career. You had the year before that, the Packers that you won with James Starks, who was your running back during that Super Bowl run. Before that, it was the Saints. Before that, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers, who at that point didn't have any kind of a dominant running game.
It was what, Mendenhall and the bus?
Mendenhall. Bus was gone. Bus was back in 2006 when it was the bus, and it was actually Fast Willie Parker who had the big run in that game. So, I mean, if you look at basically...
But hold on. I want to pause you right now.
Pause me.
You're talking about Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
Okay? I know this is a Cleveland Browns show. We're in the Cleveland Browns building. We are very far away from that conversation.
Correct.
We are many pieces away from that conversation. So Ezekiel Elliott and another guy, you know, if Ezekiel Elliott's not a 1,500-yard a year guy and he's a 900 or 1,000-yard a year guy and Duke Johnson's a 700-a-year guy, that they become our Giovanni Bernard and our Jeremy Hill. You look at our division, Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams running the football. Justin Forsett 2 years ago went for, what, 1,400 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards? So in our division, Ezekiel Elliott makes a hell of a lot of sense. Competing for a Super Bowl title, I get where you're coming from, but that's 3 years from now.
My point is, I don't know that that's the investment you want to make at that spot. I think you can win, clearly, Super Bowl. I don't think that, put it this way, the difference between Ezekiel Elliott and Isaiah Crowell in this offense, I think you can get a bigger difference somewhere else. Now, talent-wise, there is a massive disparity. I'm just talking about the overall impact that they can have on the game and winning. I think if you look at the NFL, I would rather have, you know, the quarterback or the dominant defense. I think you can plug in
running backs.
Is it because
you think the running back is a sum of its parts?
Yeah,
right?
I think there's a lot to it. And I just think, I mean, who's the best running back of the modern era? Adrian Peterson?
Yep.
Never even been to a Super Bowl. You know, I just don't think that enough is enough to do it. And I believe with the right scheme, anybody can be a pretty darn good running back.
Okay.
I mean, look at who stepped in. You had C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman last year. You've had, you know, even in Pittsburgh, now granted the guy fumbled, but D'Angelo Williams was doing just fine. They lost Le'Veon Bell, and they're doing just fine with D'Angelo Williams, who is not to be confused with, at this point, an elite running back in the National Football League.
Right.
So I do think on some level, you know, you look at New England. They don't even have a great line, but they have the great system. They have the great quarterback. They were subbing, take guys off the street, and they'd come in. Jonas Gray would have a good game. You know, all these guys you never even heard of would come in and have a good game. So
how far are the Browns away from being that good that the running back doesn't matter?
I'm not saying the running back doesn't matter. The running back does matter. I just think with the 8th overall pick in the draft, you could get a different kind of asset that might be more in line with winning. And I wonder, if they pick Ezekiel Elliott, clearly it would lead me to believe that they found something from an analytical standpoint that says, yes, having a top 5-10 running back does translate to real success in the NFL.
I also believe that the Cleveland Browns in 2016 are going to have to find ways to win differently than Hugh Jackson was accustomed to winning in Cincinnati, his most recent stop.
Absolutely.
I don't want, the same way that last year I didn't want the ball in the air 35-plus times with Josh McCown at quarterback, whether it's RG3, Paxton Lynch, or Josh McCown again, I don't want to have the football in the air 35-plus times.
No.
Where are those touches coming from?
I think Crow and Duke, but let me ask you this too. Knowing where the Browns are, doesn't it make more sense to take, look at Chris, last year, what was the guy? David Johnson was taken in the 4th round. I think you can get good running backs in the middle rounds of drafts so that you don't have to use that primo draft capital on them. The other thing to think about, too, is
look at the Rams, though. They got Gurley last year. They're going to go get there. They're going to get Jared Goff. It's going to be Goff and Gurley for the next 5 years.
Which is a good
new
combo.
Stadium, in a new location that they believe is going to get them to a competitive space in their division.
Now, they also did that after they used many number one picks on building that foundation with Quinn and Brock
defense,
et cetera.
Sure.
So I just think when you get down to it, like I don't have a problem with them drafting another running back this year at all.
Neither do I.
You also look at the longevity of a running back. You know, is it better to just reload in the middle rounds almost every year or every 2 years or every 3 years as opposed to sink something that valuable into? I don't know. And that's curious. That's something that I'd be very curious. And we can ask Sashi Brown about that on the draft preview show later today. Just kind of in general, the philosophy on that position. We'll see what happens there. I don't see it, but you never know. You never know. The guy is clearly an uber talented player. He's for sure one of the top 8 players in this draft. Just a matter of how that fits in with what they are trying to do.
Correct.
Long term, short term, et cetera. All right, we'll be back right after this to wrap it up on the Draft Monday edition of CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. All right, here's one for you. We went through our mock draft. This just in from Daniel Jeremiah. 1, Goff. 2, Wentz. 3, Buckner. 4, Ramsey. 5, Miles Jack. 6, Tunsil to the Ravens. 7, Stanley the Niners. 8, Joey Bosa to the Cleveland Browns.
I feel at this point right now that we could have one of those like multi-sided dice that comes in like a board game and you have a name on it. And between 3 and 8, you can roll it. And and you got as good a shot to be right as you, I, Daniel, Charlie Casserly, Bucky Brooks, Charles Davis, you know, Lewis Riddick, of being right.
So here's where it gets interesting. He's got Paxton Lynch going 12 to New Orleans.
Okay. Paxton Lynch in the control. I like him playing 8 games inside.
I think that's interesting. The only receivers he has going in the first round are Laquon Treadwell.
Where?
23 to Minnesota. Corey Coleman, 24 to the Bengals. And then Will Fuller down here at 28, which would mean Josh Dotson would be on the board, which means I would be dancing in the streets, ladies and gentlemen.
Elliot Dotson, 8-32.
I'd be fine with that. I mean, you're giving yourself – if it goes against what I believe. I had somebody just tweet me.
I understand that.
I had somebody tweet me, by the way, that, well, RG3 had a complete running back his rookie year. Do you remember who that running back was, Jason Gibbs?
Didn't he just get signed by the Dallas Cowboys?
He did. And do you remember what round he was picked in that very draft?
Fourth or fifth, if I recall.
Sixth.
Well, again, inside the numbers with Gibbs.
There we go. But hey, I'm just saying, it's my point is you can find a running back.
Here's a thought, though. And he's
Bernard Hill, both second-round picks.
There you go. But Hugh Jackson, if in fact RG3 earns the right to be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, with Elliott and Elliott's history in Urban Meyer's offense, I believe as much as you want to deviate from the zone read system, there will be zone read wrinkles with RG3 if in fact Ezekiel Elliott is drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, there will. I think it's going to be there no matter what. I think there's going to be some of that. Just they did with Andy Dalton last year. That's just part of his deal. And I think you're going to see some of that with Duke Johnson, try to take advantage of the two of them, the speed in space. Yep. Isaiah Crowell has been one of the people have been raving about so far in terms of the condition and explosiveness with which he has showed up here at camp. And I know it's early and we haven't seen the pads on, but he's a guy who finished the season on a good note, averaging 4.5 yards a carry over the final four, averaging 75 yards a game over the final four, 3 touchdowns. So he's a guy that did come on strong last year. So I don't think that's a massive – I don't think there's a gaping hole there for the Browns. I think that's somewhere you could look in the mid-rounds, and absolutely, if you want to add a competition for the crow, caw, add that competition. There are plenty of guys that will be available rounds 2 to 4 that could come in and be the guy.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm just saying my pick at 8 with Ezekiel Elliott is them going best player available.
Uh-huh. Which it would be. Given the way that our top 8 went,
yeah,
it would be. Given that we don't know what's up with Miles Jack's knee,
correct.
It would be. So, all right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, Josh Norris, draft expert from Roto World, will be with us. Sir Andrew Gribble will be with us as well. He's getting fired up over there, Sir
Andrew.
He's
got a fresh cut.
His fresh helmet's still looking very, very good. He'll be with us tomorrow, as well as picks 9 through 16 in the mock draft. Those will come your way mañana as well. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here for Jason
Browns
Gibbs.
Radio Network tonight. Bro.
And, of course, tonight, 7 o'clock, you're right, the draft preview show. Myself, Matt Wilhelm, Ken Carmen, Sashi Brown will be with us as well. Dane Brugler. So loaded up here for you. 7 to 9 all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Gibbs and Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.